Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
I created the perfect soldier. God forgive me. Part 3, Final. Despite my anger, monitoring the specimen's development was incredible. The speed at which they developed was beyond even what I expected. Had there been a viewing port, one could have sat and watched the humanoids grow and mature from only a few cells. They grew so rapidly that we had to refill their nutrient dispersal system every few hours. However, their growth rate was sporadic. One moment, the specimens would take up the nutrient and blood mixture rapidly and quickly grow into weight and size before seemingly stopping the growth altogether for up to 30 minutes. This made monitoring their development very stressful, essentially always needing eyes on the specimen's vitals to ensure they didn't run out of nutrients. There were 12 of us researchers in the wing entrusted with monitoring development. We decided that the best way about this was to have one person in the incubation room with the specimens and topping off the nutrient mix as needed. Each person would do this for an hour while the others rested in the break room and waited for their turn. I was fourth in line after Dustin, with Dr. Kennedy next in line after me. I, like most of the other researchers, drifted off to sleep as I waited for my time. The sleep was peaceful, my only escape from the whirlwind that my mind had become. I remember Dustin waking me up to let me know that it was my shift, his eyes dark and his face pale. Even after all the work he did to convince me to stay, I could see he finally understood my fear. But it was already too late for us. It took me a moment to get to my feet. I felt my mind being pulled from the silent abyss and thrown back into the hot coals of reality. We were making monsters, and it was my turn to watch. Sitting in the incubation room alone made me take in details I hadn't considered in the years prior that I had spent in that room. The incubation room was quiet. It felt somber. A small running hum emanated from the running electrical equipment. The wombs radiated a gentle warmth that filled the room in order to simulate a non-existent mother's heat. The monitors occasionally let out a small beep to indicate minute change in vitals. A rubber and metallic smell filled the space. It reminded me of hospitals, the countless nights I had spent, first by my father's bedside, then my mother's. Why was I doing this? I wanted them to be proud of me, even when I did the things I knew would make them sick. At some point, I lost what I was striving for. I no longer wanted them to be proud of me. I wanted to be proud of myself. A goal I could never reach. I don't know at what point I fell asleep. I assume it was early in my shift. The stress of the day had drained me, and my head was still groggy after Dustin woke me up. As my eyes flickered open and I regained my senses, three details quickly stood out to me. The first thing I noticed was the monitor's beeping. It was higher pitch and constant. Two of the vital signs had flatlined, one seemed barely alive, and one's vitals were going out of control. The second thing I noticed was the nutrient system container. It was nearly empty. The machine's vacuum hummed, trying to distribute what little of the red liquid was remaining. And the third thing I noticed was an artificial womb, moving. I was frozen still, trying to make out what was happening when I saw the indent of the large hand press against the side of the womb. I jumped to my feet and glanced at the monitor again. 86 kg. One of the things had reached full size while I slept, and it was ready to come out. I threw the door to the incubation room open and began running down the hall. Dustin must have woken up to the sound of the door being thrown open because I saw him step out of the break room as I ran down the long hallway. "What's going on?" he said drearily, rubbing his eyes. "Where's the sedative?" I yelled down the hallway. "What? The cool room. Where's the cool room, Dustin?" "I... 15. Shelf 15. Compartment 32. "Call the retrieval team. Call management. Get them down here now," I called out as soon as I ran down the hall. I continued to the cool room. I could see the others stirring awake behind Dustin. I didn't have time to explain. I didn't have time at all. I reached the cool room, its large metal door like a safe. I pulled with all my might for it to only slowly open, the frigid air on the inside covering my body in goosebumps. I found the sedative, a large syringe filled with a potent concoction. The sedative was concentrated and meant to be mixed with a full nutrient tank. Adding it to the nearly empty one would most likely end in the death of the specimens, an outcome I found preferable to the alternative. I ran back down the hall, each footstep feeling like a mile. My legs shook under me the closer I got to the incubation room. The lights suddenly went dark over the facility, emergency lights flickering to life down the hallway and through the rooms. My pace slowed as the intercom buzzed to life.
"This wing of the facility is now under lockdown,"
a robotic voice chimed.
"Please stay put until released or proceed to the nearest exit with your team's emergency protocol supervisor."
As I passed the break room, the other researchers stood in the doorway, throwing questions at me as I sprinted past. I continued running down the hall like they weren't there. As I reached closer to the incubation room, a sight brought my spirit to a sudden halt. There was a small stream of water flowing out of the room. I approached the door slowly, every footstep deliberately placed to minimize noise. As I stepped around the corner, I felt my heart drop as I peered into the room. One of the four wombs had broken open. The specimen was lying on the floor, its back turned to me, curled up in a fetal position. Its proportions were mostly human. I couldn't measure it, but it seemed as though the thing would have been no taller than me, standing at around 5'9". From where I stood, I could see the humanoid was completely bald. It actually seemed to have no hair on its whole body. From behind, I could see the specimen's ears protruding from its head. They were large, with a ribbed texture like a bat's ears. I could see the thing's awful hands gripping its shoulders like it was hugging itself. Its hands were large, the pads on its fingers thick. It reminded me of a chimpanzee. But if the thumb size was...
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com. /footballfuelpointsTC.
It's proportional to the rest of the hand. The thing's skin is what I found most intriguing, though. Its color and texture shifted rapidly. One moment, it would be a smooth, oily black. The next, the specimen's skin would be tan and rough-looking. It shifted and morphed through the color spectrum. I was petrified. Being close to the humanoid felt like I was standing alone in a sleeping rabid bear. The air felt cold as I watched the thing's grip on its shoulders tighten, its thick finger pads slowly tearing its own skin. The skin pulsed white and black around its wounds. I don't remember much of Dr. Kim coming up beside me. Her voice seemed muffled and far away. Even when she put her hand on my shoulder, it felt like a distant memory. The humanoid turned. No, its head twisted around independently from its body. Its head went from being horizontal on the ground and turned away from us to upright and looking right at us. It was uncanny, inhuman. Its face made me sick. The thing's head was human-shaped, but it was far from it. The humanoid's nose looked as though it had been smashed with a meat tenderizer. Its nose was a mess of skin and cartilage and ridges that formed a large, almost leaf-like shape on its face. The base of its jaw looked swollen, most likely added muscle. The specimen's eyes were deep, black pupils set in a bright sea of amber. The disgusting creation before me observed us all with an expressionless malice, like a predator sizing up its prey. Dr. Kim's scream didn't snap me out of my trance. The specimen's speed made it look like a blur as it lunged forward and slammed into Dr. Kim's body, crumpling her to the ground. Before I could react, the specimen's balled-up fists were crashing down on Dr. Kim's body with a thunderous force. It bit down on her neck, tearing it open like it was nothing. Blood sprayed from her throat, mixing with the amniotic fluid on the ground. I didn't notice Dr. Turner running down the hall until he kicked the creature. The heel of his boot connected with the humanoid's left temple. Its head snapped and bobbled, and the thing stammered back. But before he had an opportunity to do anything else, the creature lunged forward on all fours and grabbed a hold of Dr. Turner's legs. I could hear them break before he toppled to the ground, his horrible screams ringing out down the hallway. The thing grabbed him and threw him effortlessly against the wall opposite the incubation room. The humanoid grabbed Dr. Turner's head and slammed it against the wall over and over again. At first, it was just a thumping, then a cracking, and finally, a horrible squishing sound as his head flattened against the wall more and more. The humanoid's body was incredibly thin, but looked solid, like a bodybuilder who was starving to death. I stood transfixed by the hellish sight, before Dustin's yell snapped me out of my trance. Daniel, run! Adrenaline can really make the body do amazing things. I ran faster than I had when I was in my 20s. As I ran towards Dustin, I could see the other researchers running towards me. As they passed by, I looked back to see them sprint past the humanoid that was now gnawing on Dr. Turner's shoulder. They were heading for the exit, but the wing was on lockdown. There was no way for them to get out. A realization that, in their panic, must have slipped their minds. I ran past Dustin, trusting that he would follow. I knew there was one room that we could go to with the chance of being safe from this specimen. I didn't look back until I had reached the cool room. Dustin stood behind me with a trail of three other researchers. I recognized Dr. Kennedy, Dr. Matthews, and Dr. Liu behind him. Come on! I waved them on. Everyone inside right now! They filed in one by one. Most rubbed their arms to maintain warmth as the wintry air of the cool room touched their skin. Once the last person was inside, I looked down the hall to see the humanoid on his feet. Its amber eyes stared into mine, the umbilical cord of wires, tubes, and flesh dangling between its legs. It began walking down the hall towards us. As I pulled the door in an attempt to close it, I could feel my body was finally feeling the fatigue and stress I was under. Dustin! I called out. Help me close this! Without saying a word, he ran to my side. Grabbing the handle of the door, we pulled it shut. Dropping the large metal hatch, sealing us away from the thing approaching. After a few seconds, the door rang with a loud thud, and then another. We all jumped with each hit. I hoped that my idea was correct, and that the large door would be able to withstand the monster's force. After a few more hits, the door rattled as the creature pulled on the handle of the outside, and then the door went silent. I stumbled back, sitting down on the floor and placing my back against one of the shelves. I let out a shaky sigh, white breath coming from my mouth. I didn't feel like crying, but I felt tears running down the sides of my cheeks. Dr. Kennedy sat in the corner, shaking. I couldn't tell if she was in shock or just cold. Justin stood next to her with his hands on his head. Holy shit, he muttered under his breath. Why was it acting like that? Dr. Kennedy spoke up. I thought all our specimens had human brain activity. Do we really know anything about this batch? Asked Dr. Liu, his wrinkled skin already turning pale from the cold. They just gave me small sequences to attach to the genome. I wasn't allowed to look at what else was being added. There's no telling how the hybridization might have affected certain elements. Well, would it act like a baby though? Dustin interjected, his teeth rattling. How the hell is it able to run and hunt? It could be instinct, Dr. Matthews answered. Some animals are born with instincts to move around and seek out food early after birth. Hatch chicks away from their mother, and in a day, they'll be walking around scratching for bugs, all without a parent to teach them. We sat in silence for a few moments, the only noise being the hum of the refrigeration system. Then the screaming started. It was faint, but everyone could hear it. Those that ran to the exit realized too late that they couldn't get out. Now they were being hunted. We all were. Dr. Kennedy began to cry.
How are we gonna get out of this?
She whimpered. Did you call management? I asked, looking over at Dustin.
I did, he answered. I didn't know what was going on at the time, though. I said something was going wrong with the specimens. A few moments later, the wing went into lockdown.
Okay, I said with a sigh. They must have checked surveillance cameras and saw that one had fully developed and gotten out. That's good. That means they're sending someone to get us. We just have to wait it out. It was hopeful thinking, but it was all we had. The screaming stopped after a while. I guess the specimen finally caught all the people that ran for the exit. I felt my legs start to shake.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Cool room doesn't do it justice. It's cold. Winter in the mountains cold. But the rest of the east wing was comfortably warm, meaning none of us were wearing cold weather clothes. We were freezing. Minutes became 30, and 30 became an hour. Eventually, all professionalism went out the window as we huddled together as close as possible to conserve body heat. Even that can only go so far. Wait it out. That's what I told everyone to do. I should have known the stunt the facility was gonna pull on us. We were abandoned. For what reason, I didn't understand at the time. All I knew was that we were dying. We couldn't stay in that room much longer.
Emergency... Protocol, Supervisor.
I whispered through rattling teeth.
What?
Dustin replied.
Who was our emergency protocol supervisor? Kim or Turner?
Turner, Dr. Kennedy answered.
It was Dr. Turner.
Why do you want to know?
Dustin asked.
The voice on the intercom said we would wait or leave with the emergency protocol supervisor,
I explained.
I bet that means his key card opens the exit.
You want to go out there? Dustin asked, his brow furrowing.
What if it's sitting right outside?
They aren't coming, Dustin. I felt sick saying the truth out loud.
It's our best shot. If we get the key card and break for it, we could at least have something to form an escape plan around.
After a few moments of silence, Dustin spoke softly.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's? I replied, confused.
I'm not letting you go out there by yourself.
His chattering teeth flashed a smile. We looked around the cool room for anything we could use. The only things we managed to get our hands on were a makeshift spear we made out of a broom handle and scalpels. It wouldn't do much of anything against the humanoid, but it might discourage an attack for a few seconds. At the very least, it made us feel better. We slid the door open slowly, expecting the monster we made to burst through the door, its large hands tearing us apart. It never did, though. We stepped out into the hallway. I held the spear tightly with Dustin behind me. Despite the present danger, the warmth of the hallway felt like heaven on my skin. I looked back to the other researchers in the cool room.
Leave the door cracked, I whispered. We might need a quick getaway.
They nodded to me. I'm sure they were also enjoying a bit of the heat pouring into the room. We moved down the hallway slowly and quietly. We couldn't see the humanoid, but we could see Dr. Turner and Dr. Kim's bodies down the hallway. The corridor was a mess. The blood and bodies of our co-workers were all over the floor and walls. The smell of blood and fresh death was everywhere. I could see bloody hand marks where someone was dragged across the floor and into a dark room. Each doorway we passed, I looked inside, expecting to see the thing's amber eyes looking back at me. My eyes saw gory horrors in many of the rooms, but the specimen was in none of them. As we got closer to the corpses of our supervisors, I could see that they had been eaten on. Sporadic small chunks were taken from all over their bodies, but the thing left plenty of flesh yet to be eaten. It seems it was still learning how to properly eat its prey. As I knelt down by Turner's body, I heard a rustling down the hall. I froze in fear, sweat forming on my head as I looked down the hall. A dragging and snapping sound was coming from a research office close to the exit. I can't say for sure, but I assume it was feasting on one of my coworkers. I found his key card lying on the ground attached to a part of his ripped shirt. I turned the dust in and nodded before standing to my feet. We began backtracking to the cool room when a horrifying sound pierced our ears. A sound coming from down the hall near the cool room. The facility phone in Dr. Kim's office started ringing. Without a moment of hesitation, the two of us began sprinting down the hall. I never looked back, but I could hear the thing's footsteps chasing behind us, getting louder and louder as it gained. I took the lead ahead of Dustin. It wasn't like I was trying to leave him behind, I just wanted to live. I hit the cool room door hard, forcing its slow hinges to move as fast as it would go. Just as it was open enough to get inside, I heard Dustin scream and hit the ground. I turned back in horror to see Dustin on his back, the humanoid straddling him. The species' mouth, chest, and hands were covered in blood. Its horrible eyes unflinching as Dustin struggled. I watched my friend's arms go up in the air in the attempt to defend himself, but it made no difference. I readied my makeshift spear, but before I could thrust the monster, it brought down its blood-covered fist into the center of Dustin's chest, the sound of bones shattering and air escaping Dustin's lungs echoed in my ears. I screamed and dug the spear into the specimen's side. It was the first time I heard it make a noise. It screamed, not animal-like at all. A human scream. In my shock, I realized my grip on the spear. The creature lurched back, taking the spear with it. The thing touched at the scalpel still embedded in its flesh, its skin pulsing white around the wound. It groaned and hunched over like a beat child, so human in its pain. My adrenaline was pumping. I grabbed Justin's shoulders and dragged him into the cool room. Once inside, the other researchers began shutting the door. I watched as the specimen slowly pulled out the spear, its screams muffled as the door shut and latched. I fell to my knees by Dustin's side, hovering my hands over his caved chest. He was breathing, but it was a horrible, labored wheezing between groans. "Dustin," my voice faltered. "Dustin, stay with me. Please stay with me." The door suddenly changed and shook as the humanoid thrashed against it in a rage, like a child throwing a temper tantrum.
Everyone jumped, but I was still confident that the door would hold.
"Just don't move," I said to my friend. "We're gonna get you out of here."
Dustin just laid there and wheezed.
The banging on the door suddenly stopped. We all sat in silence, wondering what was happening. Then the specimen started making strange noises. It's hard to describe. Like a deep chittering mixed with occasional squeaks.
"What's it doing?" Dr. Matthews asked.
I put my hand up to silence him and continued to listen. The chittering continued for a few more seconds before I heard the creature's footsteps quickly trailing away.
"It's gone," I whispered.
"Why would it leave?" Dr. Matthews asked, confused.
"What the hell are we supposed to do now?"
Dr. Kennedy asked while knelt down beside Justin.
"I don't know," I replied.
"Did you get the key card?"
Dr. Liu asked with desperation in his voice.
"I did," I said, taking the key card from my pocket. "But we still have to get by that thing to get out."
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Have any ideas?
Dr. Kennedy asked, her eyes watering as she looked up at me.
No, not yet. Just...
I put my hands over my face.
Just give me a minute to think.
We sat in silence for a few minutes. The hum of the refrigeration system mixing with Dustin's wheezing created a truly hopeless atmosphere in that room. I felt my body begin to shake as the cold set in again. I hung my head and closed my eyes. I was out of ideas and almost out of time. Then I felt a warm hand grab mine. I looked down to see Justin looking up at me.
Sedative,
he wheezed, his voice shaky.
What?
I whispered.
The sedative. Give me the sedative.
I could tell each word he said was agonizing.
Don't talk.
I thought he was in shock. Desperately seeking some kind of relief.
I'm sorry, I can't just give you the sedative. It's not made for humans, it'll kill you. I'm dead anyways. At least let me take him with me.
Dustin's voice was so weak. I sat for a few seconds, processing what he said. It took a moment for the weight of what he was asking me to do to fully set in.
"We're not doing that," I said sternly.
I felt warm tears welling up in my eyes.
"It's the only way you'll make it out."
"I'm not killing you, Dustin. I'm not," I cried, tears dripping down onto Dustin's broken body. I felt his grip on my hand tighten.
"Daniel!"
Dustin groaned. I could see tears rolling down his cheeks.
"Let's do
the right thing for once.
Tears poured down my face as I grabbed the sedative. Dr. Matthews handed me a needle that I attached to the top of the large syringe. I squeezed Dustin's hands as I pushed the needle into his arm.
Thank you,
Dustin whispered as the sedative entered his blood. It didn't take long for the sedative to take effect. As soon as his eyes closed, I sobbed over him. I could feel my warm tears quickly chilling on my skin. I was only able to cry for a minute. The sooner we got his body outside, the better. We opened the door slowly and quietly dragged his body into the hallway. As the door slowly closed, I screamed out down the hallway.
Come on!
The door shut and latched. A few seconds later, I heard the familiar footsteps approaching right outside the door. What followed was 30 minutes of listening to the humanoid chew on Justin's body. A sickening wet sound coming from just beyond the door. Despite my disgust, I listened closely. Over time, the chewing and breathing got slower and slower. Then it stopped, and then there was a gentle thud. We waited an extra few minutes before opening the door. We knew there was enough of the sedative inside Justin to kill these things many times over, but we needed to make sure. When we opened the door, we all breathed a sigh of relief as we saw the specimen laid out on the ground, its whole body a pale white color. I tried not to look at Dustin's body out of respect, but I could see the blood pooled around him. The walk down the hallway was silent, apart from the occasional stifled cry as the others witnessed the horrors that had become their co-workers. We reached the outside of the incubation room. The other researchers gasped as they saw Turner and Kim's bodies. I was even surprised. Perhaps I was too focused on finding the key card to notice, but they looked worse than I remembered. More devoured. My gaze followed up to inside the incubation room, and my blood ran cold. Over the next few seconds, the specimen's actions, running away from the door, the noises, all of it made sense in just a few moments. I looked ahead of us slowly, looking at every doorway down the hall. I turned around fully, looking back the way we had come, and then I saw it. In the supply closet next to where Dr. Liu was standing, amongst boxes and disposable equipment, was a pair of bright amber eyes. Run! I screamed. The second humanoid leapt from the room, its skin still mimicking the texture and color of the cardboard boxes as it was blending in with it. It tackled Dr. Liu to the ground and drove its fists into the back of his head. One of us screamed, or maybe we all screamed. I don't fully remember. What I do remember is all of us running towards the exit. I remember hitting the exit door and slamming Dr. Turner's keycard on the scanner and praying I was right. I remember hearing the click of pistons and seeing the door begin to slide open slowly. The door was only a few inches open when I heard the first shots ring out. I squatted down and covered my ringing ears. I looked down the hall to see the humanoid thrashing on the ground, its whole body pulsing different colors. As the door opened more, two men in tactical gear and rifles stepped in and approached the specimen. Two more shots rang out, and I saw the creature's body go limp and turn a pale white color like the last one. Everything happened so fast after that. The three of us remaining were ushered out of the facility and placed in the back of what looked like a large police van. We asked where we were going,
but the men with guns told us we would understand soon. We must have ridden in that van for 2 hours. Kennedy was crying for most of it. I did not understand at the time why. She knew more than all of us at the time. Eventually, we were taken out and brought into a large building. Inside, the building was completely empty, as though everyone inside left right before we had gotten there. They brought us to a large conference room. We were given water and told to wait. After a little while longer of waiting, we began to hear an argument outside the door. I was only able to piece together small phrases. You can't. Too valuable. Too risky. Let me try. Chance. Were among the things I could pick out from the muffled argument. I began to think I was starting to recognize one of the people's voices, Jason Michaels, as he stepped through the door with another man beside him in tactical gear. Jason was pale and sweating. I'd never seen him so nervous.
Let me start by saying I am so very sorry for the events that had transpired today. Jason spoke with tense passion. What you people went through is a tragedy, and while I am filled with regret for every lost life, I will thank God for every one of you that survived. Where were you? The words slipped through my mouth without thinking. I will admit, our response time was not adequate. We weren't planning for this and had to get together a task force to...
Bullshit!
Dr. Matthews cursed.
They were waiting outside the door when it opened. I was thinking on the ride up here, what would you gain from leaving us for so long?
Matthews, calm down, Kennedy whispered.
No, I won't. Matthews' voice was filled with seething rage.
You were watching on cameras, weren't you? Seeing how they acted, how they moved. That's why you called when you saw Daniel and Dustin in the hallway, isn't it? To get another show. Were we just data points to you?
I studied Jason. He looked like he was about to break down. His hands were shaking. Matthews was right, but there was something more that was disturbing Jason.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints.
I understand you're upset. Jason tried speaking. No, you don't. Matthews yelled, standing to his feet. You won't understand until I take everything from this agency. You'll understand when I step out of this building and tell every person I know that goes inside that
The familiar sound of gunshots once again caused me to violently flinch and cover my ears. The man who entered the room with Jason had drawn his sidearm and fired 2 shots into Matthew's chest. Matthew's body fell back and slumped over in his chair. Kennedy screamed. I looked back in time to see the man now pointing the handgun at me. I put my hands up in fear, and through my ringing ears I could hear Jason yelling.
Stop! Stop! Please! They understand! They understand! They won't tell anyone! Please don't do this!
His voice was shaky. His face looked terrified, as though he wasn't expecting Matthews to be killed.
Just let me finish talking to them. You've done enough.
The man looked at Jason and holstered his sidearm.
Quit dicking around. Let's wrap this up.
The man spoke with annoyance. Jason turned to us and began speaking what sounded like one of his scripts, tears rolling down his face as he tried keeping his composure. Despite this tragedy, I'm sure you all see the great potential this research holds, as well as the amazing progress you and your team have made. For this reason, you will all be moved to a new facility where other researchers in this field are continuing your project, Your expertise will be invaluable to the continuation of advancements in this program. I look forward to continuing our work together. That was 6 months ago. Kennedy and I were moved to a new facility in the Great Plains region of the United States. We were introduced to a new team that had been working on the same project as ours for the past year. We were told to go back to work as normal, to teach the new team what we had learned, while leaving out the horrors of what happened that night. We go along with it. We have to, or they'll kill us. Jason must have struck a deal with the higher-ups at the agency to let us live in exchange for our silence and work. In the end, I guess he was in the same boat as us, slaves to the agency, to the government. But I could never go along with this. Not after everything that had happened. Not after they killed Dustin. Dustin was right. It's time I started doing the right thing. So, for every genome I work on, I make the major changes they want, but I also tweak small parts of the genomes, small enough so they won't be recognized, but important enough that the specimens all fail to develop properly. They haven't figured it out yet that I'm the one doing it, but I believe that they're starting to catch on. I know I don't have much time left before they come for me, so I'm making this final post so everyone knows the truth. This project won't stop once I'm dead. They want their perfect soldier, and they'll do anything to get it. But if enough people stand up, if enough people fight back, maybe it'll make a difference. Or maybe it won't. Maybe you'll be fighting in the street only to see the monsters coming for you next. Maybe this is all just the ramblings of a man signing his own death warrant. I wanted my name to be remembered for my work, but if it is, may God help you all.